Hawaii joined 10 other states and jurisdictions in passing a law to allow medically assisted dying. The bill kicked in back in January of 2019. John Radcliffe, longtime lobbyist and labor leader, championed the effort along with many others over several decades. Radcliffe suffered from a terminal illness and 5 months ago decided to end his life. He was the first to ask for a prescription under the law. Some 60 others have since followed.
The medical condition that it ends shortens the amount and duration of extraordinary, extreme pain and suffering that must be endured. This is all about relief, life-ending relief.
That was John Radcliffe, who likened himself to the poster boy for Our Care, Our Choice. We reach out to a group which worked to pass the medical aid in dying law. Samantha Trad is Hawaii State Director with Compassion and Choices.
So the Our Care, Our Choice Act took about 20 years to pass. In 2018, it passed through the legislature and became law on January 1st, 2019. In fact, John Radcliffe was the very first person in Hawaii to make an oral request for the medication. So what the law does is it authorizes the compassionate option of medical aid in dying for a person who has to meet a series of eligibility requirements and go through quite a lengthy process. So in order to be eligible for the Our Care, Our Choice Act, you need to be an adult, terminally ill with 6 months or less to live. You need to be mentally capable of making informed medical decisions. That means essentially that you need to be aware of what you're doing. You don't have Alzheimer's or advanced dementia, and you need to be a resident of Hawaii. And so in order to get a prescription, a person has to make two oral requests separated by a mandatory minimum 20 days to one physician and have a second physician confirm their eligibility. There's also two written requests, one that has to be signed by two different qualified witnesses to show there's no coercion, and there's a mandatory mental health evaluation, a third of a health evaluation that needs to be done by a psychologist, psychiatrist, or social worker to confirm the voluntariness and mental capacity of the patient. So that's how the law works. I know it's a little complicated, but we do know it is possible for people to access the law. As I mentioned, John Radcliffe was the first person to make an oral request, and he was able to peacefully end his suffering in August, actually, of 2020. He used his medication and had a really beautiful end-of-life ceremony the way that he wanted to. We know from the Department of Health that in 2019, 30 people received prescriptions. And we will be getting the next official report out, but in October, their preliminaries showed that about 60 people total, as of October, had gotten prescriptions for the Our Care, Our Choice Act. We also know that there are very few doctors on the neighbor islands who are able to support patients in this option. So finding a doctor, especially if you're on a neighbor island, we get a lot of calls from the Big Island in particularly, from terminally ill people who want this option but can't find a provider who can support them in this option. So that's one of the hurdles we're looking to overcome with this legislation that I'm going to be talking about. Currently, advanced practice registered nurses, also often called nurse practitioners who have prescriptive authority, can already write prescriptions for controlled substances. However, the way the law is written, they're not able to write prescriptions for medical aid in dying. So we would like to see that restriction lifted so that nurse practitioners, who you have to understand they've gone through a great deal of education, they're completely qualified to support patients in the option of medical aid in dying so that everyone's able to access this law, not just people who live in Honolulu and have good health insurance, because that's kind of what we're seeing right now. The other thing is we know from data from Kaiser Hawaii and Hawaii Pacific Health, as well as from private physicians who've shared their internal data with us, that there's a large number of patients who do not survive the mandatory minimum 20-day waiting period and die in exactly the way that they didn't want to die. Hawaii's law is based on Oregon's law, and in Oregon, they amended their law to allow the prescribing provider the ability to expedite that waiting period. So if a patient meets all of the qualifications, they still have to go through that whole process, but they don't have to sit around and wait in excruciating pain for 20 days just to get a prescription. So the other amendment that we're looking to make is to allow the prescribing provider the ability to expedite that waiting period if the patient's unlikely to survive it.
And Kaiser's numbers, you know, I'm reading here from January 1st, 2019 to December 31st of 2020, 24% of their patients didn't survive the waiting process. At Hawaii Pacific Health, it was 16%.
Yeah, they met all of the eligibility requirements. And, you know, we hear from patients and their family members these heart-wrenching stories. You know, I think about one man on the Big Island who he wanted so desperately to be able to end his life on his terms. You know, you got to understand, these people do not want to die. You know, that's why it's so offensive when people talk about this as though it's a kind of suicide, because people who choose medical aid in dying, they want to live. They do not want to die. But their terminal illness has robbed them of life. And what a prescription for medical aid in dying does is it gives them a little bit of control over something that they don't have any control over. So if they want to, they can peacefully end their suffering on their terms and not go down the course their terminal illness has for them.
The problem of access is a big thing for neighbor islands, the rural areas. And so then the bills that you folks are introducing this session will hopefully remedy that?
Yes. And the bills were based on recommendations made by the Hawaii Department of Health, based on all of the input they received from medical providers. Because even, you know, like you mentioned the Kaiser numbers, just last year, 34% of Kaiser patients who were going through the process didn't survive the mandatory minimum waiting period. And I got to tell you, Kaiser and Hawaii Pacific Health, they have the best internal processes that we've heard of. You know, if you're terminally ill and you want this option and you're at one of those healthcare systems, the fact that it's still difficult to get through, you know, is a huge red flag that the law is not working as intended. So the bills, they're part of the Kapuna Caucus package, the Kapuna Caucus's priority bills. There's two identical bills, one in the Senate and one in the House. The Senate bill is SB 839, and the House bill is HB 487. And these two bills, they would allow advanced practice registered nurses with prescriptive authority the ability to support patients in the option of medical aid in dying, and it would allow the prescribing provider the ability to expedite that mandatory minimum waiting period if the eligible patient is unlikely to survive. So again, the patient still has to go through the whole process. They need to meet all of the eligibility requirements, but they don't have to wait for those 20 days.
And you mentioned that this legislation actually took 20 years to pass. Has traditionally the House or the Senate been, you know, stronger in support?
These bills were in the legislature last year, and they passed through four committees before the global pandemic hit and the legislature shut down. The Senate bill did actually get through the Senate. It was waiting to go through the House, and the House bill didn't quite make it out of the House, but it was very close. And I think that if the global pandemic hadn't hit, those bills would have made it all the way through, or at least one of them, and made it to the governor's desk. And the governor was supportive of the Our Care, Our Choice Act, so we think he'll sign this bill.
And I have to ask, you know, with the COVID filter on, has that pandemic changed anything for either patients who have applied for this?
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing out in the field?
You know, I'm eager to see the final Department of Health report. We do know that telemedicine has been hugely helpful, but I am concerned that, you know, patients who normally would have been able to go to their medical center and start this process, you know, it was a lot more complicated with COVID-19. And I don't know, you know, I really don't know. I can say medical aid in dying is not an option for somebody with COVID-19. That illness doesn't give the patient the eligibility requirement of the terminal illness and the 6-month prognosis. But I do wonder if the pandemic has caused more people to talk about death and dying. You know, I know it's a taboo topic that nobody likes to think about or talk about. But the good news is talking about it doesn't mean you're going to die imminently, and actually can really help you plan for the end of your life. It's so important to talk to your doctor, to your providers, to your loved ones about how you would like your end of life experience to be, because the truth is most people don't die the way they want to. You know, most people die in hospitals, hooked up to machines. Their wishes often aren't honored. And our whole mission at Compassionate Choices is to to empower everyone to chart their own end-of-life journey.
I guess with COVID, the most cruel thing is that many people aren't able to be with their loved ones physically at the end. And so I just wondered how that not having your loved ones there, you know, would it affect somebody's decision one way or the other. But, you know, if you're already terminal.
I know of one doctor who does support patients in medical aid in dying who has gotten both shots for the vaccine, and he's very excited to be able to be present if the patient wants when they take their aid in dying medication, if the patient wants him there. So it is getting better, so that's good. Most of us tend to want to die at home, surrounded by our loved ones. So, you know, if that's at all possible, and that's something medical aid in dying really can help a person who's eligible be able to do. They can go peacefully when they want on their terms. And again, you know, these are not people who want to die. They're terminally ill. And, you know, another interesting statistic is that about one-third of patients who go through the whole process to get their prescription never actually take the medication. But just having it on hand gives them a huge sense of relief. So if their suffering becomes unbearable, they can take that medication. I met a man on the Big Island who told me he never felt more alive than the moment he got his medication, and that he hopes he never has to take it. But he just said he was so relieved to not have to worry about what was going to happen with his terminal illness because he had this option ready and available the moment he needed it. And he actually never ended up taking the medication.
And what happens to the medication in that case?
So first of all, I think it's important to understand that patients who are terminally ill have a lot of lethal medication at home already. And so medical aid in dying is another one of those medications. And there's a protocol that the pharmacist will walk the patient and their family members through. So if they don't use their medication, then it can be returned to a qualified facility that will take that medication, and the pharmacist will make sure that the patient and their family knows what to do with the medication. And in over 20 years of this law being in effect across the country, there's never been a problem. There's never been an incident of coercion or abuse with the medication.
That was Hawaii State Director for Compassion and Choices, Samantha Trad, talking about the two-year anniversary of the Medical Aid in Dying Law and the bills introduced this week proposing to tweak the program.